Some moment, but I'd like to go ahead and read my scripture reference this morning. Let's turn together to John chapter 19. I'll be preaching from this text this morning, but if you also want to put your finger in Matthew 26, I'll refer to that after Michelle sings, and then we'll get on with the message. The suffering and sacrifice of Jesus. The suffering and sacrifice of Jesus, John chapter 19. We'll read verses 1 through 7, and then we'll go down and read verses 28 through 30. Then Miss Michelle will come sing for us, and we'll come back for the preaching of the word. John chapter 19, let's begin reading in verse number 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, put it on his head, and they, scourged him, and the soldiers plaited the crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth and said unto them, "Behold, I bring forth to you that he may know that I find no, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." And the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, and they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Now let's look at verse number 28. "And this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be filled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." I think a lot of people are going to be surprised when there's clapping, rejoicing, and worship in heaven. Amen. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. The clapping wasn't for her. It was for what the message of the song. Well, this morning we're going to look at the suffering and the sacrifice of Jesus, and I'm going to read from the passage in Matthew 26 and verse 36 in just a moment. Isn't it wonderful to come to church and be in a building and look up and see a cross with Jesus no longer there? He was buried and then he rose again. Yet there's some that still want to put him on the cross. Yes, he's been there for us, but no longer. It is finished. The battle for our souls is over. All we have to do is come to that faith and knowledge, realizing we're sinners, repent, and come to the Lord Jesus. And today we're going to approach up until the death of Christ, where he said it is finished. And then we'll pick up next Sunday on resurrection morning and speak of the resurrection, the greatest comeback in the history of the world. But today we must remember, and it's a reminder for many, and it is for me, but it's necessary for us to be reminded of the suffering and the sacrifice that our Lord went through that we might have salvation. Matthew 26 and verse 36. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, 'Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder.' Then saith he unto them, 'My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me.' And he went out a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.'" Jesus and his disciples often visited the area of the Garden of Gethsemane. The word Gethsemane means oil press. And with that definition in mind, I want you to consider this. He visited Gethsemane. As he visited Gethsemane, Jesus being pressed with the thought of bearing the sins of the world. He knew the very reason he was going to the cross. Can you imagine him knowing and bearing the sins of the world, being pressed as we speak of Gethsemane and that garden, the fact of him, the thought of bearing the sins of the world. In John chapter 10 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Isn't it wonderful to know that we serve a risen Savior that willingly gave himself? And friends, there's no other faith, no other religion that can celebrate Easter the way that we do. Our Savior lives. And today we're going to approach the aspect of him going to the cross for the sins of the world. Only God had the power to lay down his life and to take it up again. Many choose and volunteer, raise their right hand to join the military service, to join the first responders in protection of the community that they live in. And they choose to lay down or provide their life that they may serve others. And our Savior not only laid down his life knowing what would take place, but he also took it up again. Notice with me, first of all, this morning, the suffering of Jesus. Here, back in our text in John chapter 19, a little phrase in the portion of verse 7c, notice his position of suffering, because he made himself the Son of God. They accused him and blasphemed and said he's to die because he made himself the Son of God. Dear friends, Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Therefore, he is love manifested in the world that we live in today. He was in charge of being, he was innocent but being charged, but they were exactly right. He is the Son of God manifested. John chapter 1 and verse 1 and verse 14 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, as we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Dear friends, he was and is the Son of God. Well, not only do we see in reference to his suffering, his position in suffering, but notice in verse 11, the purpose of his suffering. The purpose of his suffering. The Bible tells us in verse number 11, and Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he delivered me into death, have the greater sin. Dear friends, the purpose of our Lord in giving of his life, that we might have eternal life. Jesus never laid aside his deity, but he laid aside the privilege of his deity. He could have called 10,000 angels, but his love for the world kept him on the cross. All most of the day yesterday and most of the morning when I woke up this morning, I heard several, listened to several hymns in my mind. They sound a lot better in my mind than they do coming out of my mouth. But I was listening and I thought, yes, he could have called 10,000 angels. Then I listened and heard the other Southern Gospel song saying this, while he was on the cross, I was on his mind. I had a joyful time yesterday and Friday going over my message, listening to some good classical hymns and Southern Gospel music class, and just rejoicing and having a time praising God, knowing that, yes, he will say it is finished. And that only part that is finished is him giving of himself for the sins of the world. But we'll see next week again that greatest comeback. He had a purpose in his suffering. Three times Pilate declared Jesus was innocent and even sought to release him. Jesus was unjustly offered in place of a thief and a murderer that day. It was an unjust trial and judgment. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3:8, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. And then Isaiah chapter 53, we can't bypass this during resurrection weeks. Isaiah 53 and verse 3, and further, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and accepted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was buried for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Dear friends, the world may have seen weakness. They may have seen guilt because Jesus did not open his mouth. but I know it was strength. Abraham Lincoln said this, meekness is not weakness, it is strength under control. Our Lord not only willingly gave, knowing that he could have called 10,000 angels, knowing that he had us on his mind, the future world to come that would need a Savior, there was a purpose in his suffering, dear friends, and that is you and that is I. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, why delay? Why wait knowing the suffering of Jesus? If you're here today and you have trusted Christ as your personal Savior, let me challenge you and encourage you. Tell someone, tell somebody else what Christ has done for you. Tell them how they've made a difference. He has made a difference in your life. Because of his suffering, I have eternal life. Number two this morning, not only the suffering of Jesus, but the sacrifice of Jesus. Here in our text in verse 16 and 17, we see that phrase, and he, bearing his cross, went forth. Dear friends, heaven is interested in the cross. Hell fears the cross. And the world that we live in today seems to ignore the meaning of the cross. You know, I made this comment earlier and I'm going to say it again. I'm not trying to be ugly. I don't want to offend anyone. I was so glad and so happy about our flyer and working together with some other people in the church and designing and sending it out. The theme being the empty tomb. You see the empty tomb on the front. Then you see the cross with Christ no longer there. And it's talking about celebrating the greatest comeback, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of all the flyers in my mailbox, of all the flyers that came our way, everyone promoted the aspect of Easter. Just the word Easter, eggs, E-G-G-S, extravaganza, having the egg hunt. Listen, I'm not against activities for our kids, but friends, the focus needs to be on Christ, his resurrection, his death, his burial. And folks, when we take that out and we substitute it for something else, we may draw other people in, but I tell you what, we're drawing them in the wrong frame of mind, and they have their mind somewhere else doing something else. There's nothing wrong with having the activities. There's nothing wrong with doing things for our kids. But let's keep the main thing. And that's Jesus. That is his death, his burial, and the resurrection. He made and gave great suffering, but he also sacrificed himself. He willingly carried the cross in verse 17. Have your thought for a moment to think about that Palm Sunday and then later with our Lord coming through and carrying the cross for you and I. He could have bypassed all of that and just therefore the being nailed on the cross and dying and rising again. But he carried. He went through not only that suffering, but that sacrifice, that humility. He willingly carried the cross. And then notice also he willingly covered our sins. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, for he hath made himself to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He who knew no sin bore our sins that we might have salvation. Dear friends, isn't it wonderful to know a perfect Lord and Savior gave his life? Though he had never committed sin, he came for the sole purpose of taking on the sins of the world that we might have eternal life. Notice verses 19 through 22 in our text here in John 19. You see, it was customary for a Roman prisoner to wear the accusation on a placard or a place card around their neck, which then was hung above the head upon this cross. Notice verses 19 through 22. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read, many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and in Latin. And then verse 21 and 22, then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Through all of that, Jesus showed great love in covering our sins. Warren Wiersbe said, Christ's crime was that he made himself king, and unknowingly, Pilate got it right. He is the King of the Jews. He is the King of the world. And dear friends, he willingly gave of himself to suffer and to sacrifice for you and I. Luke 23 and verse 34 says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Dear friends, once again, Jesus showed great love in the sacrifice and the suffering all for us. What other words can we use other than what love? He, as I mentioned earlier, the gospel song, he had others on his mind even while on the cross. The song, and I'm not going to try to sing it, but the phrase goes, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Amen. I mean, I just had a fit there. I had to get up, put it down, and rewind, play it again a little louder, and I just had a little fit there is what we call down south, and said, praise God, hallelujah, right there in my office while I was studying, and just had a good old time, and rewind, and rewind, and listen to that chorus over and over again. Excitement and thinking, Lord, I just can't wait. I can't wait for the services on Sunday. I can't wait for Resurrection Sunday. Lord, we pray and hope there's somebody that hears that needs to know Christ as their personal Savior. Dear friends, again, when he was on the cross, put your name in there, I was on his mind. The suffering of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, all was for the purpose of number three, the salvation plan through Jesus. He did it all for that salvation plan that we might have eternal life. And we see that in verses earlier, I read verses 28 through 30. Christ says, it is finished, dear friends, because he had fulfilled the will of his Father. The punishment, the sacrifice, the suffering had been paid. And then over the next few days will be the greatest comeback. But to that point, let me ask this morning, are you doing the will of the Father? He says it is finished because he had accomplished what his Father had sent him to do in giving of himself. And then again, in a few short days, he'll be resurrected. But let me ask once again, are we doing what our Father has called us to do? Think about that just for a moment. Yes, God has called me to preach. Yes, God has put me in a position of pastor within the will of God. But you know, you folks sitting out there in the pew, you folks sitting out there looking at me, God has a purpose designed for your life just as well. Everybody can't stand and preach. God needs good men and women that serve as doctors and lawyers and engineers and plumbers and electricians and carpenters. And the list goes on. We need godly men and women in all these categories. And it comes down to simply this, am I doing the will of the Father? Am I doing what God has purposed for me to do in my life as I serve him? Notice with me in reference to the salvation plan through Jesus, his finished work was prophesied. We see that and know that through as we read our text in verse number 28, we know exactly what is going on. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, and then he saith, I thirst. The Bible tells us in Psalm 69 and verse 21, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Dear friends, as the salvation plan was laid out through our Lord Jesus, his finished work was prophesied as we read the scriptures through the Old Testament to the New. And then once again, as I was listening to that music the other day, also just sometimes sometimes the Lord just blesses us and we're not even expecting it. It just happens. And we got through listening to that song and there was a commercial. And I don't even say where I was listening to because I don't want to give them an advertisement. And the next thing came up. And it was several people giving testimonies, several Jewish friends, they're now completed Jews, a few rabbis, and a few non-believers. And they went through and talked about what the Christ had said and how they saw it of reading through the Old Testament all those years and realizing how it was fulfilled in the New Testament, and they came to know Christ as their Savior. That fulfillment of what God promised would take place. The salvation plan through Jesus throughout the ages. His finished work was prophesied. But there also in verse 30 we see his finished work was to pardon. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar and he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. The Greek word there, it is finished, is a single word. But in English, it is finished. Tetelestai means paid in full. How many remember the first time you ever saw that outside of the Bible? Let me help you. When I had a loan and I paid it back, and they sent me the paperwork and had a big stamp that said paid in full. I own it now. It's my house. It is my car. It is paid in full. And dear friends, that's what Christ has done for us. There's no more payment. There's nothing else that needs to be done. No other sacrifices. No more suffering. The penalty, the price has been paid in full. His finished work was to pardon us from our sins. It is the perfect tense case here, meaning that this payment occurred once, but has a continual effect. In other words, I could go back out and get a second mortgage after they stamp paid in full. I can go out to the pawn shop and get a lead on my car to get a few $100 and then they're, oh, well, once again. But this word that the Lord used here, it is finished. The perfect tense, meaning it occurred once but has continuing results. Amen? It is ongoing. We can't lose it. And there's some who say you can walk away from it. And dear friends, you can never walk away from something you never had. Hey, it is finished. It is complete in Christ. I am secure in the finished works of Christ. Are you? Are you? Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven? If not, why not come to Him today? If you know someone that you believe is not saved, you know someone that you know that is not saved, have you reminded them of the suffering and the sacrifice of Jesus? Are you trying to live out and honor your Father and servant that they might see the Lord through and in your life? Dear friends, every jot and tittle of the law, every word and deed, all that has been given to do while here on earth was finished. The price was paid. Ka-ching, hear more money coming into missions. Still, sovereignly in charge of the situation, Jesus bows his head and dismissed his spirit. Think about that for a moment. No man took his life from him. He laid it down of himself willingly for all mankind. John chapter 10 and verse 17 and 18 tells us, therefore doth my Father love me because I laid down my life, that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up. This commandment have I received of my Father. The work that saves is finished. No one can add to a finished work. We can do nothing to the saving work of Christ. See, we live in a world today where religion says, do this, do that, do this, do that. But Jesus says, done. It is finished. The battle is over. Dear friends, all we have to do in our part is come to the Lord who may be wooing us even now. Is the Lord speaking to your heart? Do you realize, again, do you know that you know that you're saved? And if you do know that you're saved, are you sharing it with others? Are we being reminded this morning of the suffering and the sacrifice that Jesus made? Because it's all about the plan of salvation through the Lord Jesus. Friend, there is no need to fear. He was not dead long. In just a few short days, as I mentioned earlier, Jesus makes the greatest comeback in history. And we'll talk more about that next week. But I don't want to leave my Lord in the grave. As he gave himself willingly, and he announced it is finished, and he gave up the ghost. And he was buried according to the scriptures, and we know that he rose again later. But he did all of that we might have salvation. Dear friends, this morning, have you looked to him for salvation? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And in Romans 3:25 tells us, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 tells us, wherefore by his one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. I believe we would all agree, for the most part, many people will tell you, yes, I've done things wrong. Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, they may not want to say they're wicked. They may not want to say they're a horrible person. But most people with common sense will tell you, I have done things wrong. Maybe a little mistruth, a little lie. Maybe taking something they shouldn't have taken. Maybe losing their temper. And the list goes on and on and on. But it does make no difference from the smallest child to the most gruesome, sinful, wicked person in the earth today. Jesus died for them and all in between. Who else could give her their life to forgive sins, though small and though great, but only Jesus himself? He gave of his son, our Father gave his son, the Lord Jesus, that we might have eternal life. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and verse 9 tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, is a gift of God. Here we go. Not of works, lest any man should boast. See, it's nothing that we could do that will give us eternal life, our salvation we spoke about. Christ, listen folks, if we could work our way to heaven, if we could do enough good to get ourselves in heaven, then why did Jesus suffer and sacrifice the way he did? The bottom line is there was no other way. That was the plan of salvation. Dear friend, his work, his suffering, his sacrifice is finished. And as we prepare, Michelle, if you'll come to close our service this morning, rest assured, though Jesus was buried in verse 42, he rose again that Easter morning, the greatest comeback in the history of the world. Dear friends, there's no need to wait till next week. Today, today you can come to the Savior. Though the Bible we're reading off, we're stopping here in chapter 19, and we know the Lord has died, is buried, but us believers know that he will rise again. We know the end of the story, so there's no need to wait to finish. Right now, where you sit, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, why not trust him now? I'm going to ask in a moment. We're going to begin an invitation in just a moment. I'm going to have you stand. I'm going to ask you to do two things for me. There's two categories of people that are here this morning. Those who know the Lord as Savior and those that don't. There is no in between. You either know him or you don't. And I'm going to ask you, if you know the Lord is your personal Savior, I'm going to ask you to pray with me. I'm going to ask you to praise God and thank him for that salvation. And then ask him to help you this week and the coming days and years and weeks and months beyond to look for an opportunity to share with someone else. And I'm going to ask you to pray and say, Lord, if there's anyone here who doesn't know, would they have the courage, would they have the boldness to step forward that somebody might take the word and show them how they can know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. Let's all stand together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. There's no one looking around. And you begin praying as I pray, thanking God for your salvation, asking the Lord to work in the midst of his people here in our congregation, but also laying somebody on your heart that you might go to even this week and tell them about the Lord and invite them to church. If you're here today and you don't know that you're saved, why not come this morning? Father, you know the needs that are represented this morning. All across our auditorium, there's folks that either know the Lord or they just know of the Lord. There's folks that have a relationship with him and know him as Savior, and those that need to have one and know him as their Savior. Father, would you work in the life of your people this morning? May people respond. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, or a pianist is playing. You do business with the Lord. Where you stand or here at an altar, would you do what I've asked you to do? Thank him for your salvation and ask him to lay someone on your heart that you can contact and speak to this week about their need for Christ. And if God has worked in your heart and you need to come, why not step out right now and come to an old-fashioned altar?